honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps and the Basketball Podcasting Network. Thank you once and always for having me on board there. Coming in out of Vancouver, British Columbia, Timberwolves Explosion, again, available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. If I just said that, I apologize. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. The sun is shining. Got some catfish ready to have for lunch. Can't be better. Well, at least the Wolves won some games. Carl Anthony Towns is back. And the Timberwolves are a 500 club, but Carl Anthony Towns is back. Anthony Edwards should return very shortly, so we'll see. Yes, all is right with the Wolves, I guess, kind of. We'll see, but not necessarily. But at least we're floating around, I guess. It's unfortunate to be floating around 500, but that's what kind of year this has been. We have a nice, solid point guard in Mike Conley. We have some decent depth, some nice players in the rotation, like Nikhil Alexander-Walker, acquired in that same Conley trade. Torian Prince had some up-and-down games, some great ones. Jaden McDaniels is taking strides forward. Rudy Gobert has been pretty solid the past several weeks now. And Anthony Edwards should return, and it looks like Karl-Anthony Towns might be willing to adjust one way or another to it. Like, he doesn't really seem to mind who's like the man, who's the leader, so to speak, when it comes to the Timberwolves. So that's a good feeling. At least that's the vibe people are getting, and that's good. So this could be a very fluid situation with Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards, and in a positive way. Not a negative way, a positive way. Fluent could mean anything in times, like, oh, he might come, he might go. But I think Timberwolves could be on to something here. At least I hope so. Long-term, short-term, well, we're trying to make the playoffs with the upcoming games. Four games to review. I'll try not to babble too much in those. Bulls, Raptors, what the heck. And then Knicks and Hawks. Okay, that's better. Three games to preview. Golden State Warriors on Sunday evening, who are actually slightly ahead of the Wolves because of the stupid losing streak there, that three-game losing streak, starting with the Celts and all them. Heading to Sacramento. That won't be very easy, and Phoenix won't be very easy. If Kevin Durant plays, we'll see. We never know with Kevin Durant. He's worse than some people that are hurt all the time. He's kind of like that. But let's get started with the Chicago Bulls game. Anthony Edwards in the first quarter goes down in a heap. Played about 8 minutes, if I remember correctly. Only 8 minutes. I remember thinking, oh no, because I had to catch up with the game. He had 8 points, and he played in 8 minutes. Yeah, he was actually very, very efficient. Wolves probably would have won the game comfortably if this didn't happen. But Anthony Edwards gets tangled up. Kind of driving to the basket, maybe looking for an elbow shot or something, gets tangled up, and it goes down in a heap, and it kind of looked like a high ankle sprain, with the way his ankle moved, awkwardly, kind of like sideways, but also forward, or backward, or whatever the heck you'd say. I guess it's kind of like, yeah, like when your ankle kind of gets stuck on the ground and you keep going forward, that's a high ankle sprain, and they hurt like the dickens, let me tell you. And that's why you saw him go down in the heap. He was not acting, and he was not acting in Milwaukee either, as Milwaukee Bucks fans might have you believe. As, again, you know, I mean, some of us have had similar injuries where you land on your back really, 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 really hard. It hurts like the dickens, to say, for lack of a better word. It will create scar tissue, unless, by the grace of God, it isn't a real bad bone bruise, but or bone and muscle bruise, that type of thing. But it's an incredibly painful. But you can keep going. You can keep going. It just hurts like hell, that's all. It's not like an ankle injury where you cannot keep going. You just cannot. That's like, are you kidding me? Like a really bad ankle injury. A slight sprain or strain, ST, you should be okay. Garnett obviously came back from a lot of those while, you know, kind of playing through it and such. But depends on the severity. That one looked pretty rough with Anthony Edwards, but luckily he was out of the walking boot just a few days. So we shall see. Anthony Edwards, 8 minutes, 8 points. It doesn't get more efficient than that, but unfortunately, just, you know, just wasn't meant to be. Timberwolves lose in double overtime to the bleeping Bulls, which was really irritating. Oh, very. Could have gotten a little more help off the bench, I got to think. They shot terribly. Jordan McLaughlin did shoot well, probably should have shot more. 3 of 4, 2 of 3 from downtown, 8 points in 22 or 23 minutes, basically, 4 assists. He was very efficient. Probably should have shot the ball more. Oftentimes he didn't shoot well, but the other point guard was shooting super well, and that's Mike Conley. He was torching the net. 8 of 12 from downtown. I mean, there you go. Get your beef and cheddars, folks, because they've become very scarce. The Timberwolves didn't even make 12 threes versus the Atlanta Hawks, which was like, we only made 11? Oh, come on. It was like, so much for free beef and cheddars, and I didn't get the beef and cheddar after the Bulls game, which is really frustrating. I wish I did now. But I could have got that Saturday night after work because I had to work late, or I had to work Saturday. Stupid. Why didn't I do that? But that's what I get for not thinking. Stupid. Free sandwich? Come on now. Arby's, we have the threes. Yes. Yes, there I go, plugging Arby's. But why not? They're Timberwolves and Arby's are working together. And Scott Doherty likes to remind people as well, like, yep, on the page. But unfortunately, several times this year, the Wolves didn't make 12 threes. Like last year, it felt like almost every game. Like, oh, this is easy. Conley, though, I mean, almost did it by himself. 8 of 12. That's crazy. Jaden McDaniels, 4 of 9 from downtown, 7 of 15 from the floor. What a great week by Jaden McDaniels. And almost like Dominique Wilkins' spin moves against the Hawks. And, of course, the Hawks. That's Dominique Wilkins' club, of course. Even to this day, not as a player anymore, but a, you know, executive, higher-up guy with the club, with the personnel and all that. Kyle Anderson had a triple-double. It wasn't a pretty game or anything, but he had another triple-double. 4 of 14 from the floor. He didn't shoot well at all, but tons of assists, you know, 12 assists anyway. 10 rebounds, but Gobert at 19. It was a very fun game, and again, double overtime will help you pad your stats because you're going to be out there more. Kyle Anderson played 51 minutes, so it's possible you're going to get a triple-double, even if you shoot like crap. 19 rebounds by Gobert in only 33 and a half minutes. Crazy. And he fouled out, and that did not help. The Wolves could have used his help down the stretch. 19 rebounds. I mean, when you're rebounding that well, and including the 5 blocks, so it definitely sucked to see Rudy Gobert get fouled out. Vucevic had a pretty nice game for the Bulls. And maybe he wouldn't have been able to have the huge Dunkin' Dunk, as they call it. A Dunkin' Dunk, that's in Chicago. Like Dunkin' Donuts, yeah. That kind of helped seal the deal versus the Wolves as things unraveled in double overtime. It's bleeping incredible that this team didn't finish the job and win. Terrible turnover by Torian Prince. I don't know what he was looking for. I don't know if he saw a ghost or what. The ghost of Michael Jordan or something. I don't know. He saw something, but seriously, it was like the stupidest turnover ever. Wolves up by 2 with like less than a shot clock remaining, basically. Well, you get the idea. It was like 16 seconds remaining, and that son of a gun like throws the ball cross court to one of the Bulls. It was like, okay, that was great. Just threw it into traffic. Not really sure. I mean, did he see a ghost? Seriously. Was it the ghost of Scottie Pippen? Or was or Dennis Rodman. All three of the guys were phenomenal defenders. Jordan, Rodman, Pippen. In the early days, people say Jordan didn't get enough credit for his defense because, well, I mean, he was the most exciting player of all, you know, in the world by the late 80s. So it's like, but and then he was Defensive Player of the Year in 88. So he was that was like, you could argue, his best overall season as a player, you know, like a young stud in the NBA in 1988. He being Michael Jordan, who built United Center. The other guys helped, no doubt, but Michael Jordan ultimately built it. He built the Hornets, too. Took them from, what, 100? This is like all over Facebook and social media now. Michael bought the Charlotte Bobcats for $175 million and now is looking to sell for over $1.5 billion. So it's like, yeah, it's over that. It's like almost $2 billion. They say like $1.5 billion profit. For Michael Jordan. So they say that's an even bigger win than his basketball career as a player. So, geez, Michael, I think he loves basketball a little bit. But it'd be kind of sad to see him go, but the Hornets haven't exactly had a whole lot of success. It's just, the product value went way the bleep up. The property or whatever you'd call it. Would have been really wise to buy into the Timberwolves like 20 years ago or something. And even 10 years ago when Flip was buying in. and all that, and told Glenn Taylor to stick around because his value was about to explode because he knew of the new contract deal. Flip worked with ESPN. There I go tailing off into who knows where, and I apologize, but it is all NBA and basketball related, so na-na-na-boo-boo. Torian Prince, again, two turnovers in the game, but that second turnover was like, what the hell are you doing? That cost the Wolves the game. It cost the Wolves the game. We had the ball with 16 seconds left, up by two. I mean, seriously, what more can you say? That cost the Wolves the game. It did. So thank you, Torian Prince. He would make up for it against the New York Knicks, where the rim looked like the ocean, as they say, but it was one of the, can I say it? It was one of the shittiest, stupidest turnovers I've ever seen. I just couldn't understand. And what really irritated me, though, right after that, that was single overtime, by the way. What really irritated me after that, Zach LaVine had the nerve to bitch at the ref after making the layup. Like, where's the foul? Ah, shut up. You just got a gift right in your lap. Shut up. Seriously. That's the worst part of the NBA. Yep, and then Vucevic, yeah, that finishing touch. Could have used Rudy Gobert there. Unfortunately, we had people that weren't up to the challenge as Vucevic just took the ball to the rim. Okay, Zach LaVine, I got something for you here.
Just drop dead, shut up, and get out of my face. Shut up!
That's what the ref should have told Zach LaVine. Anyhow, the Wolves lost, and I was pissed off. Again, Jaden McDaniels, 25 points, 4 assists, 6 rebounds. Just, love what he did this past week. And you can kind of guess what I'm hinting at for the later stages of this segment. 122-107, this was not your feature presentation at all. This was absolutely not a feature presentation. It was the feature poop fest. 122-107. The Wolves were in the game for a while, and then it just, like, snowballed into, like, what is this? Like, what's happening here? This sucks. It was like a... It was depressing. Can I just say that? It was depressing. It was very sad. 122-107 game. The Timberwolves kind of sort of hung in there, like, a little bit. And when you look at the four-quarter scores, so to speak, it doesn't look like the Wolves fell behind by as much as they did. But it was just, like, increments. Toronto just kept kind of pulling away. Then we'd kind of hang in a little bit, but they'd pull away again. It just felt like the Wolves never really had a chance to win this game, which was really annoying. Will Barton, my God, how many teams has he been on? This must be his ninth team or something. Remember, he was part of the infamous David Kahn trade down, get a little bit of cash, get the invisible bag over there. Yeah, I still have the bag. It's empty, but because it was from the 2021 draft, where we kept David Kahn. Yep, see, we had this bag. David Kahn, gave it to us because he had no use for it anymore. But he filled up the invisible bag, as we call it, until it got to I think, how much was it? $4 million to pay off. To help do the buyout to pay off Kurt Rambis and his firing after two miserable seasons by both idiot general manager and idiot coach who had no business setting foot as the head guy for either position. You can maybe be a great assistant coach in terms of Kurt Rambis. Maybe David Kahn can be part of a front office printing papers and bringing them around and serving people coffee. Maybe. Well, he's a really good writer, too, though. But, something like that. maybe serve people coffee and say, maybe you should have thought of taking this guy, that Johnny Flynn. He's got a nice smile. He has a great personality. Okay, I am going way off. I apologize. This game was depressing, though. Gary Trent, again, son of Gary Trent Sr. Gary Trent Jr., again. Yeah, Gary Trent Sr., a lot of us remember as the big, burly, undersized power forward who had really good post moves, but undersized, that's why he just didn't have the reach to defend anybody, and he didn't have enough reach to really get around people, but he certainly had skills and power and strength and all that, so he definitely made it in the NBA, but damn, he could have been way better if he had a little more reach, poor guy. Gary Trent Jr. decided, I'm going to go the shooting guard route, and he's doing well for himself. He had 5 steals in a very sloppy, icky game. Naz Reid led the Wolves off the bench in less than 20 minutes with 22 points. Kind of sums up this game. Kind of sums it all up. Torian Prince, awful. 4 points. Gobert, double-double, but not the prettiest thing you ever saw. It's crazy to think he played more time in the Bulls in this game versus the Bulls game in way better numbers and just looked like a better player. I don't know. I mean, Naz Reid looked good in the game. Nobody else that much, except for, again, Jayden McDaniels, another good game. Jayden McDaniels did not have a bad game this week. This is probably his weakest. 4 of 6 from downtown. That's wonderful. 18 points and 6 rebounds, 6 of 14. This is definitely his weakest game, but this is everybody's weakest game. Prince and Conley combined for over 8 from downtown, over 8 from your two starting guards in the game, who both look like backups. They both look like they should be coming off the bench in the Toronto game. Conley looked like an all-star. He looked like the best version of Conley from the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Bulls. In this game, he looked like Mike Conley as this old Wiley backup like Terry Porter or something. You know, obviously he can be a good player, but certainly not a full-time starter necessarily for a legitimate playoff club. That's what he didn't look like versus Toronto. Still not complaining, though. Very happy to have him. And I don't know. I think he fits better than the other guy named D'Angelo Russell. Wolves lose the game. I'll keep moving. 140, 134. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think this is?
And now, our feature presentation.
That's right. It's the feature presentation. There's no doubt about it. Torian Prince shot at an ocean. The rim was the size of the ocean. In fact, he put up numbers that nobody's ever seen, honestly. It's like historic numbers, historic. 8 of 8 from downtown. 8 of 8 from downtown.
It's showtime!
The Prince in the Palace. And it's like, there you go. There's your 12 of 13 from the floor overall. There's your Lone Wolf Award. But wait, no, he stunk against Chicago and Toronto, and he had the worst turnover I've ever seen. No, but still a great game. It's still a great game. 12 of 13, it was very enjoyable. It was against a very talented Knicks team that, honestly, in a lot of ways, underachieved in the game. A certain guy played really well for the Knicks. We'll get to that in a couple seconds. Just a couple seconds. Jayden McDaniels, 50% from the floor, 2 of 3 from downtown, and another 18 points. He's just been wonderful in relief of, Anthony Edwards and such. Obviously, he's a starting small forward. The Scottie Pippen defense and all that. And a lot of people see as like Edwards is the Jordan, McDaniels is like the Pippen, and then Carl and Gobert are gravy to go along with it. Can you imagine? So this potentially could be an awesome team if A, they all stick together, B, they stay relatively healthy, because we all know that's, a tall task in the NBA to stay healthy. Not because it's the most grueling sport in the world, but because of other reasons. Like, just, it's insanely frustrating. Jalen Nowell had one of his best games. A Jalen Nowell sighting. He does exist. He we can finally take him off the milk cartons, at least for a game or two. 7 of 13 from the floor. 14 points. He even had 4 assists in the game and 3 steals. Just provided a little bit of everything. Not great defense necessarily, but some defense and 3 steals helps. Doesn't mean you're a great defender, but you forced some turnovers. So, and yeah, the steals to turnover ratio, 3-1. Assist to turnover ratio, 4-1. All right, Jalen, that was a really good game. Please do it again. Please. Please do it again. I'm begging you. Because when you play well, you're a good player. McLaughlin kind of, he's out there. He did get his 5 assists. Again, kind of that, that Derek Fisher behind Nick Van Exel role. Not the starting Derek Fisher with the championship teams or anything. But we'll see. He's going to be the starter, right? Well, we'll see. 6 of 11 for Conley. 3 of 5 from downtown. Was that? I forget. This wasn't a beef and... Oh, yes. This was a beef and cheddar game. Yep. 14 threes. I didn't even look if it was a beef and cheddar game versus the Toronto Raptors. Was it? It couldn't have been, right? We shot like crap. I mean, everything sucked. It was a terrible game. The score doesn't reflect how awful a game that was. We just looked like crap. And yes, we didn't have Anthony Edwards or Karl Anthony Towns. I know. It does count. It does mean something. The Wolves made 5 threes. 5. Yeah, I don't think they made it. 5 threes. 4 of them by Jayden McDaniels. 5 threes. Boy. And, a lot of you would gag at the thought of, oh my God, 5 of 12 from 3-point range. Like that was games sometimes. And nowadays that's players. That's like a small forward or a shooting guard on a team. I'm one of the only people that kind of misses that. I kind of do. It's okay if you make only five threes, but when it's 5 of 21 or 23 or whatever, like the Wolves versus Toronto, it's a little different story. Five. It's funny. 5 of 12, yeah, okay. You know, and that's, again, back maybe against the Atlanta Hawks in, 1993 or something, the good old days. But, I don't know. I liked basketball just fine back then. All those nice elbow shots, people were driving to the rim. I mean, is there a problem? Is there really a problem with driving to the rim versus, like, just launching threes? Is that really boring? If you think that's boring, I don't know. What do you think made the NBA what it is today? It's just shooting threes? Okay. Julius Randle, 57 points. He did everything. Everything. Elbow shots. Rim-rocking jams. And made from the outside. He's averaging 25 points a game this year, but 57 for the son of a gun in Madison Square Garden. And right around the same time that Willis Reed passed away, another NBA legend, from back in the good old days. The New York Knicks, very rare championships, and of course very famous for coming back from a torn thigh muscle in Game 7 against the New York Knicks. Returning, apparently Walt Frazier was very frustrated because Willis Reed got most of the credit, even though Walt Frazier had phenomenal numbers in that 7th game, and the Knicks defeated the, why am I blanking on who they beat? Doggone it. I have to look at, oops, I'm bumping everything here. Of course, duh, it was against the LA Lakers. Vince Germano's LA Lakers before either of us were born. 1970. Yeah, that was obviously, a great series that went to the 7th game. It didn't help that Willis Reed had the terrible injury. It helped the Lakers get this get things to a 7th game. But ultimately, the Knicks would win it all. Apparently, the Knicks also beat the Lakers. Yeah, it was New York, LA, 1973 also. So, yeah, Will Chamberlain, yep, they beat them and all that. So, Willis Reed, again, passed away this past week. And obviously, all the respect in the world. It was a great return. And it's interesting how Carl came back, but definitely not nowhere near the circumstances. Didn't come back from a terrible injury in just a few days to help the New York Knicks win an NBA championship and bring up everybody's spirits, because a lot of people thought maybe the Lakers were going to win that thing without Willis Reed. But Willis Reed obviously came in and did help. Walt Frazier was outstanding. New York Knicks took care of LA pretty good in that 7th game. But we will now give Willis Reed a moment of silence. God bless Willis Reed and those two awesome New York Knicks teams, and obviously his family, of course. Interesting, fascinating. Apparently he had some kind of, he had two painkillers injected into his thigh with a very long needle, and I guess Phil Jackson, it's an urban legend, but it's actually a real one, though. It's a real urban legend. It's true, because Willis Reed saw it and all that, and other people have as well. Spike Lee, I guess, offered Phil Jackson a decent amount of money for the image, where it was an image of the needle being injected into Willis Reed, and that it was an incredibly long needle, like really long, and the pain was insane that went into Willis Reed's thigh. Phil Jackson, who was a member of that New York Knicks club, of course a role player and all that, I think he was out for that game for some reason, but yes, Phil Jackson, the same guy, yes, he did play in the NBA, and of course to the Knicks, a lot of you know that, he played with the Knicks, and yeah, he was a member of that team and took a very, very famous / infamous picture. Willis Reed said he never wants to look at it. Like, no way, man. So, interesting stuff. We'll continue now. A very, very fun game, a feature presentation type of day. And Julius Randle, again, my goodness, 19 of 29 from the floor, 8 of 14 from downtown, 11 of 13 from the line. Again, rim-rocking jams, a little bit of everything. If you just like watching good basketball, this was it. Very high scoring, maybe not the best defense, obviously. Torian Prince with 35, like I said, Conley with 24. A fun game of basketball. 140 to 134 in regulation. Really, really, really high scoring. And let's not forget the 1980s games were high scoring. Lakers and Celtics were higher scoring than people want to give credit. Now, the game kind of slowed down in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, and even the early 2000s, you saw like some of those 94 to 89 type of games. It was, you know, it was in the 90s a lot. I mean, Knicks and Rockets were very defensive-minded teams, but they could also shoot threes a little bit. I think the Rockets were setting records for three-point shots made in their series where they won their two championships because of guys like Sam Cassell and, you know, Vernon Maxwell and Kenny the Jet Smith and all them hitting threes. But, of course, Derek Harper hit a lot of big, important threes as well for the New York Knicks. So, and John Starks, of course. In a great series where the Knicks lost in seven. And, yep, unfortunately, the next time they went to the finals, no Patrick Ewing with an Achilles injury, and the Spurs dispatched the Knicks pretty quickly. They were just an eighth seed anyway, but it was cool to see the Knicks in the finals. Just unfortunate how they were basically sacrificial lambs for a great Spurs team. But what a fun game. I mean, I really appreciated every moment of that one. Atlanta, again, a lot of people appreciated this as well in Target Center, but it was annoyingly close, like 40 points in the first quarter. What are you doing? And in fact, the Wolves just about lost this thing. Karl Anthony Towns returns, and it was cool. He's at the power forward position. He only got 4 rebounds in the game, which is funny. But I guess it's because his calf was not ready for all those rebounds. You know, it's just like, no, I'm not going to be positioning enough. And Gobert, you know, he can take care of that. And Naz Reid, an incredible game off the bench in just 25 and a half minutes. 26 points, 8 rebounds for him. Incredible game. Naz Reid getting physical and attacking the rim and hitting some shots and all that. Just he does a little bit of everything. He's not a great defender, but neither is Karl Anthony Towns, by the way. Not as good as we originally thought coming into that draft. But still, Naz Reid, awesome. 11 of 15 from the floor. Torian Prince, 15 points. He played well. He played well, and he did play for the Hawks in the past, if I remember correctly. He did years ago. Gobert, a 12-12 game. Nothing special, but a few close range, you know, like dunks and all that, and got the job done when we needed to. Jaden McDaniels, some incredible spin moves and shots. He narrowly missed a beautiful, unbelievable play that would have probably been all over ESPN and NBA TV as one of the plays of the week. It had to have been. It was a beautiful spin move. It went off the backboard, obviously, like he was trying to go backboard with it, but a little too strong. Gobert was able to clean it up in one of his 5 offensive rebounds and put it in. And some nice passing as well by Jaden McDaniels, leading to a dunk by Rudy Gobert. Karl Anthony Towns, some clutch free throws down the stretch, which ended up getting the Wolves a win. Kind of a scary play as Karl was driving to the basket. And a lot of people say that is his best game, is driving to the basket, Karl Anthony Towns, versus just hanging out at the three-point line. That drove me nuts. That was weird seeing a 7-foot guy just hanging out. Your franchise center hanging out at the three-point line. Now franchise power forward. Hanging out at the three-point line. Just, you know, in a Bulls game years ago. And I was just like, what is going on? Get close to the basket. What is happening? It's okay to shoot some threes, but not, like, make it your whole game. That was weird. McDaniels, awesome. And Towns, again, driving to the basket. Looked like he could have, man, something catastrophic could have happened as he was going to that rim. But I guess we're all just paranoid now about every player. Even Anthony Edwards, believe it or not, getting tangled up and such. But Karl Anthony Towns was fouled, obviously. There was more body contact than anything else. I mean, Carl would barely get the shot off at all and made his free throws. Wolves were down by 1 point at the time, by the way, and he made them both. And the Wolves end up stymieing the Hawks with Karl Anthony Towns off the floor for defensive purposes. Hint, hint. You know, and that's how it is. That's how it goes. Doesn't mean you're a bad player. Alex Ovechkin was not on the ice in the final minutes when the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup, when they were only up by a goal versus the Vegas Golden Knights. He was on the bench covering his eyes like, please, 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 because it's scary. And he'd waited for years and years to get the cup, and he eventually did. You know, that's how it is, though. Sometimes your star player isn't necessarily your best defender, this and that. But Jaden McDaniels definitely is your best defender, but he's become a heck of an offensive player as well. Jaden McDaniels, you are the lone Wolf Award winner for this week with a bullet. An awesome, awesome week by Jaden McDaniels. Awesome. Torian Prince, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. I refuse. I wanted to give it to him, but he shot like the ocean. He had a performance against the Bulls like you just don't see. Or Knicks, excuse me. Not the Bulls. That was the one that would have got him for sure. But the first two games, Torian Prince was a dead runner for the Johnny Flynn Memorial. I think Walker might have to go back-to-back. He didn't have a good week again. Kind of not really, you know. And that's Nikhil Alexander-Walker. And he's my guy, dang it. But he didn't have a great week. Hopefully he steps up and gets better. I mean, maybe we could have used his help here with the Anthony Edwards injury. Kyle Anderson's been all over. He's been playing shooting guard. It's weird seeing him there, bringing the ball up the court, even though he certainly has the ability to do so. It just looks funny seeing him in the backcourt, like, all the time rather than some of the time. More like a point forward type of guy. But 7 assists in the game. Slow-mo is definitely slow-mo, but he'll lull people to sleep and make nice passes and then little floaters and such. Great game by him as well. Playing shooting guard, kind of funny. Conley, solid 13.6 assist performance. Nothing great, but again, just makes smart plays and doesn't get you killed. You know, 0 turnovers in the game, so doesn't get better than that. 6-0, so Jaden McDaniels, 4-0 in the turnover ratio. But 11 threes made. 11. 11 threes made. Come on, Walker. That's another reason, right? Only 1 of 2. Okay, that's okay. We didn't really attempt a whole lot in this game, did we? 26. That's not that small, but it's not that much either. So, again, the Wolves finish 500 this week. Hopefully, we can go above that, but it's going to be challenging. It's going to be very challenging in the upcoming 3 games that we're going to be talking about with the Golden State Warriors. It's a road trip. Golden State Warriors out west here. Golden State Warriors, Sacramento Kings, and then Phoenix. But a couple games off since, three days off, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all off, which I could say the same, but it feels like it's the dead opposite, if you know what I mean. It is, unfortunately. But and doing this show is a day off, frankly, even though I'm working today shortly. It feels like a day off because I love it so much. With that, we'll take a quick break and look at those 3 games. Of course, you heard from DraftKings as well. Back here on Timberwolves Explosion. Again, you got the 3 games to preview. But first, we're going to hear from DraftKings and talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament. The biggest tournament in college basketball is underway, and the action is just getting started on DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Hopefully, it's the Princeton Tigers or something. But yeah, we'll see. Houston Cougars is who I have going all the way. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Plus, combine multiple bets for a shot and an even bigger payout. DraftKings will be featuring parlays and odds boosts all tournament long. So be sure to check the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day to see what they have in store. So all the tournament matchups and such, you get the Creighton versus Princeton. Unfortunately, UConn knocked out my Razorbacks, which are not necessarily my Razorbacks, but they were my Razorbacks for the tournament. As in terms of, yeah, I'm a fan. I like Eric Musselman, of course, ties to Bill Musselman. That's his son. You know, Bill Musselman was the first Timberwolves coach and was a great Gophers coach as well. But I like Eric Musselman in general. Hated the way the Sacramento Kings mutinied on him years ago. That was the stupidest thing ever. I think he coached Golden State before that, back when I didn't mind the Warriors too much. I really didn't. Eric Musselman is an underrated coach. Love what he did. He was able to knock out Kansas, but unfortunately couldn't get past stinking frickin' UConn. So frickin' stinking UConn is in the Elite Eight, unfortunately. Not happy about that. Obviously, Duke is out. My friend Donna, disappointed about that. Biggest Duke fan in the world. First year without Coach K since 1979. So it's really, that's just kind of how that goes. Unfortunately, Princeton's still alive, though, in the Sweet 16. They're going against Creighton. I talked about that just now. Kind of dig around some more. Apologize here. Alabama versus San Diego State. That's coming up today. Creighton and Princeton. Really would love to see Princeton continue. FAU knocked out Tennessee. They're now in the Elite Eight versus Kansas State. So one of those two teams will be in the Final Four. FAU or Kansas State. Interesting. UConn versus Gonzaga. Ugh. Ugh. Who isn't sick of hearing about those two teams? Ugh. Gonzaga again? Go away. I can't stand it. Xavier versus Tejas. That is, again, UConn and Gonzaga is the Elite Eight, by the way. So two Elite Eight matchups are set. FAU and Kansas State, UConn and Gonzaga. That's obviously four out of eight. You have Xavier versus Texas. Winner that goes to the Elite Eight, of course. And Houston Cougars versus Miami, Florida, versus the Miami Hurricanes, of course. So the winners of those games will be tipping off in the Elite Eight. Bama versus San Diego State and Creighton versus Princeton. That's the Elite Eight. So interesting. So looking forward to what's coming up. Hopefully, I like Houston. Would love to see Princeton go on a huge run. So we'll see. I've gone on quite a while, but what do you expect? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Sign up with code XXX. It is not X-rated movie related. It is just a code because it's for every network that everybody has, rather than THPN or TBPN, the Basketball Podcast Network. It's for every network. So it's code XXX, because what's the main attraction right now for DraftKings Sportsbook app? The NCAA tournament. So common sense, right? Right now, new customers can bet $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code XXX. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Alrighty, so, the Wolves play the frickin' Warriors again. This one is in Chase Center. I'm so used to saying Oracle Arena. I hope they've already got a championship in the Chase Center era, don't they? It's just the most wonderful thing ever, isn't it? Isn't it just wonderful? I'm so happy. Or was last year the last? I can't remember now. I'm losing my mind, but I don't know. Can't stand them one way or another. And yes, last year was Chase Arena, so they started playing in 19. I get it mixed up sometimes. It's like, oh, good, the championships are gone with Oracle Arena. No, they've already got one with Chase now. But probably that really was it. Personal issues with Andrew Wiggins, not sure what's going on, so that's unfortunate. Andre Iguodala is as old as I am, just about, and I'm not kidding. Wrist injury in the middle of March, and he really didn't play much. Edwards with an ankle. Apparently they're saying Jordan McLaughlin with illness just a couple of days ago. So, and yeah, some stuff has been going around. You notice I was coughing like crazy last week. So Gary Payton II, adductor. Apparently that's somewhere in the chest. That's kind of a weird one. Adductor, gosh. Timberwolves are 8th in points. Warriors are 2nd. Wolves 23rd in rebounding. Thanks for Rudy. But hopefully Carl will help a little bit. 9th for the Warriors. Field goal percentage, Wolves are 3rd. The Warriors are 13th. Three-point percentage, Warriors are 3rd. Wolves are 15th. Assists, Wolves are 8th. Warriors are 1st. Turnovers, Wolves are 26th. Warriors are 29th. They're even worse. Yet, let's look at the assist-to-turnover ratio. Wolves 25th. Warriors 10th. 10th, because they're number 1 in assists. Blocks, Wolves are 4th. The Warriors are 26th. The Wolves are 5th in steals, and the Warriors are 17th. This is the rubber match. The Warriors do lead the season series, and chances are they will win the season series 3-1. But I want to step out in faith and believe the Wolves can beat this club. The Wolves lost badly in Target Center on November 21st. Awful night. Right before the Karl-Anthony Towns injury the next game. Won 37-114. Things were really looking down after that. My gosh, the Wolves... So the loser in the first two games had 114 points. Wolves won 119-114 on Feb the 1st. And then got beat by a very frustrating loss on Feb 26, 109-104. Had a lot of us pissed off. I think the Wolves win. Of course. Yep, and I think Anthony Edwards will be back. That's the good part about all this time off. There's a possibility there. And could certainly use the guy's help, Anthony Edwards, because, all the injuries killed my fantasy team, unfortunately, for basketball. I've been the semifinal, and Sunday's the end of the semifinal, so... Come on, come back, Anthony Edwards, and get 35 for me. That would really help. Doesn't guarantee anything, but a third-place team playing against a second-place team. I'm the third-place team, unfortunately, but still, it looked like my team was very promising. We probably would have been beyond third place if not for the injuries, but that's everybody. The whole league is guys out for whatever. But LeBron James and Anthony Edwards out, that's not going to help anybody. The Warriors had lost 3 in a row before winning 2 in a row. Lost to the Clippers, at the Clippers, 134-126. At Atlanta, 127-119 loss. These are losses. At Memphis, 133-119 loss. At Houston, 121-108 win. At Dallas, 127-125 win, and then they will host the Timber Puppies coming up soon. Not sure if it's their next game, but whatever. Their next game is against the Philadelphia 76ers. Interesting. It's kind of like classic. That looks like 70s basketball. The 70s, the Sixers and the Golden State Warriors. That sounds like the good old days. Rick Barry versus Chocolate Thunder, you know, guys like that, and Moses Malone. Sounds a lot better than Curry and Embiid, doesn't it? I don't know. That's just how I see the world. I like the older guys, man. Dang it. I like the older guys, and I don't go back to seeing 70s basketball. I'm not old enough, unfortunately. Andrew Wiggins has missed a ton of games this year, and of course, personal reasons now that I have no idea. Apparently, it's family-related, so somebody important to him is probably very sick. That's my guesstimation. Not that it's my business. Klay Thompson, 40% from downtown. Steph Curry, 43%. Almost 5 made a game. Klay Thompson, over 4 made a game. Jordan Poole can be dangerous, but he can suck too. He's kind of up and down. DiVincenzo, who won the national title with one of my favorite basketball teams, the Villanova Wildcats. Love him to death. DiVincenzo did wonderful for them. And he's a nice player. Wish he was on the Bucks or something and not the nasty Warriors. Ugh. But he definitely helped when Steph Curry missed several games a while back. James Wiseman was already traded away, I think, to... Where'd he go? To Detroit or something? It's hard to believe James Wiseman already gone. It's kind of dumb. dumb how quick that turned out. Tells you that they just gave up like hell with him. J. Michael Green, who never thought he reached his potential. God, I loved him to death with Memphis. 8 games for Andre Iguodala playing that... what's that guy's name on the Miami Heat who's still yeah, just like Juwan Howard who stayed in the NBA about 5 years after he really could be a factor. Juwan Howard then is the other guy now. Haslam. Udonis Haslam. Like, yeah, that's literally the role that Andre Iguodala has. Kind of he's on the team, but he's not really, but he is, but he isn't. Anyhow, I'm gonna pick the Wolves to win the game now that I've babbled my head off. Kuminga is the part of that infamous Wolves trade with D'Angelo Russell and Steph Curry. Then we get to find out how many good players the freaking Jazz are going to get the next couple years. But at least we got 2 second-round picks, though, in return in the Conley trade. So we got 2 second-round picks, at least. Fill in your response to that one. it is what it is. Kuminga, he's okay. I mean, I don't feel like the Wolves missed out on, you know... I don't feel like the Wolves missed out on the next Anthony Edwards or anything, thankfully. Because there is no Michael Jordan, damn it. There was only one. The Wolves will win the game, now that I've babbled my head off and driven you nuts. I'm going to say a final score along the likes of 128-125, a nice back-and-forth battle. Anthony Edwards, if he does return, otherwise Karl-Anthony Towns is going to get 35. I think he's going to have a huge night, and the Wolves end up winning the game. He's had some great games against the Warriors historically. Anthony Edwards has 2, but I'm hoping and believing that Carl and Anthony will return, that Anthony will be back. I think he will, but even if he doesn't, but if he does, they combine for 70. They combine for 70 points. I was going to say 60, but I'm going to make a little more interesting parlay here. 70. The Wolves win, and the two guys... Carl and Ant, or whatever you want to call them, combined for 70 points. Sacramento Kinks. The Kinks and the... I don't know what I'm talking about. There was a kink. It's damaged, you know. No, it's not working. Damn. Don't you love how this works? I do not understand what's been going on with Yahoo for quite a while. It's like hiccup after hiccup after hiccup. It never acted like this until this year. I mean, there's always going to be down things, but Kevin Herter apparently has popliteus? What the heck is popliteus? Oh, boy. Should we look that one up? Popliteus? Okay. Popliteus. Wow. Popliteo, relating to in the hollow in the back or of the knee. So it's something in the back of the knee. Interesting. Popliteus. Let's see if I still haven't even put it all correctly out yet. Okay, popliteus Yeah, it's related to the knee, despite its, okay, this is Google, I guess. Despite its small size, the popliteus is a major stabilizing muscle of the knee, of the knee. The popliteus is involved in both the closed chain phase and open chain phase of the gait cycle. All right. During the closed chain phase, which is when the foot is in contact with the ground, the muscle externally rotates the femur on the tibia. Interesting. And yeah, I mean, something like that would probably hurt like hell, I'm sure, if it's messed up. So hopefully, Kevin Herter, you recover from an injury to the popliteus. So that is an actual muscle. Okay, learn something new. Learn something new on Timberwolves Explosion. Timberwolves lead this series. Unfortunately, I can see the Kings. So it's going to be one way or another. I think the Wolves split in the Northern Cal, you know, duo here. One way or another, maybe the Wolves win this series 3-1. I got a feeling it's going to be 2 splits. I think the Kings beat the Wolves, and the Wolves beat the Warriors, so I'll probably have it backwards. These are back-to-back, unfortunately. That's just really annoying. You get all these days off, and then you got to play Sunday and Monday, the 27th. Happy birthday, Paul Kaniff, turning 43. Oof. Yep. Born in 1980. Sacramento Kings, opposite effect here. They won 3 in a row after the Warriors lost 3 in a row. So let's, yeah, this is literally reciprocals here. So it's going to be a split. There's no doubt. Sacramento had won 3 in a row and has lost 2 in a row. 117-114 win at Chicago. 101-96 win at Brooklyn. Wow, those are pretty impressive, actually. 132-118 win at Washington. 128 loss at Utah. And then got demolished at home versus the Boston Celtics. 132-109. Demolished. So if somehow Sacramento gets to the final and plays Boston, I think their chances are slim to none. Unfortunately, Sacramento is the best offensive team in the league. Number one, 22 in rebounds, second in field goal percentage, 8th in 3 points, 3rd in assists, 16th in turnovers, 4th in assist to turnover ratio, 29th in blocks, 22nd in steals. The Wolves won 117-110 versus Sacramento in Target Center on the 28th of January. A couple of days later, Sacramento beat the Wolves 118-111. Again, both in Target Center. So, and then in Sacramento, a very impressive 138-134 win on March the 4th. It was a Saturday. Unfortunately, I do see this being a loss. So it's going to be a split one way or another. Maybe the Wolves end up winning this series. I don't know. Lose to the Warriors. I don't know. But we'll see. Either way, I see it as a split. Sacramento will win the basketball game. Final score, 124-118. Another one of those weird nights. Hard to say what's going to happen. Jaden McDaniels at 25. 25 with Jaden McDaniels, but the Wolves lose, unfortunately, to Sac, though. Hopefully this thing isn't hiccuping again. Let's get this Phoenix thing open before it does. Phoenix Suns, will Kevin Durant play? Will he play? Who knows? He has an ankle injury as of March the 8th. Gosh. Anthony Edwards, who's going to come back first? Anthony Edwards, who got hurt on the 17th, and it looked like it was very painful. Or Kevin Durant, who's hurt every 5 minutes and gets paid $1 billion a year, basically. 18th in points for Phoenix, 10th in rebounds, 21st in field goal percentage, 5th in three-point percentage, 4th in assists, 13th in assists, or excuse me, in turnovers, 4th in assist to turnover ratio, 10th in blocks, 12th in steals. The Suns lead the series 2-1. Suns beat Minnesota 116-107. Beat Minnesota 129. Okay, the first one was in Phoenix on November the 1st. Next one was in Target Center November the 9th. 129-117. Beat us pretty bad. Made us look icky. Fairly impressive January 13th win. 121-116. Obviously no Karl Anthony Towns there. Win in Target Center. This one is in the Valley of the Sun or whatever their frickin' building is. Footprint Center. Footprint Center, huh? Okay. Nice. Phoenix is 1-4 in their last 5. They have been sucking. So, great chance for the Wolves to make some strides forward. Hopefully the Wolves do that. The Phoenix frauds, I guess. I don't know. But it's, they're either going to like go all the way or be out in the first round. That's kind of what it is with Phoenix. The Phoenix all or nothings. That's basically what they are right now. At Golden State, 123-112 loss. Hosting Milwaukee, 116-104, loss. Hosting the Magic, 116-113, win. At Oklahoma City, 124-120, loss. at Los Angeles Lakerland, who are playing better, and they're breathing down the Wolves' neck. In fact, they're like half a game behind us. 122-111 loss at Los Angeles. That was, see what I did there? Again, Kevin Durant plays. I think Phoenix wins comfortably, unfortunately, because things are of the essence. He's played three freaking games for the Suns so far, but averaged almost 27 points. Devin Booker is a thorn in everyone's side, and he's a jackass. He's a jackass. He talks a lot. He really does. Chris Paul's a jackass too, but I don't know. He's not as bad as Devin Booker necessarily. He's a little more mature. Josh Okogie's been, you know, he's played in 62 games. Good for him. He stayed healthy and averaging about the 7 points he averaged here when he had significant time. Terrence Ross, who can go off at times. I don't know, but we'll get off of him. Michael Bridges is no longer there. I barely know who's on the Suns right now because of all the trade, you know, huge trade with the Brooklyn Nets, of course. Michael Bridges, and Cam Johnson, I know for sure, are on the Brooklyn Nets. DeAndre Ayton, I keep thinking he's gone, but he isn't, is he? I think he signed an offer sheet, but wound up staying with the Suns, right? Yeah. Injured with a hip, though, so that doesn't help their cause. There's a reason why they're losing. The Timberwolves will beat the Suns. Anthony Edwards with 40. And I remember these two guys had like 40-point games against the Suns last year, if I remember correctly. Anthony Edwards with 40 points versus the Phoenix Suns. The Wolves win in the Valley of the Sun. Final score along the likes of one. Yeah, I like these high score. I don't know. I'm picking high scoring games all the time. It's going to be an interesting one, but I think the Wolves tie up the season series. 128-119. Wolves win by 9. Anthony Edwards with 40. And the Wolves beat the Suns, a team that's kind of up and down and injured and this and that. I could be dead wrong, but let's have some fun. That's what we're all about here. Wolves win. The Wolves meatloaf this week. Let's take a quick break and get to Fan Interaction now. Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 3, Fan Interaction segment, and you'll notice that song that is played every time we're going into Fan Interaction. It's from Zelda 2 of the NES, and I'm actually reviewing that right now on Video Game Flashback, so I've been doing an episode for that. Episode 13 of Video Game Flashback will be Zelda 2. Fun, and you'll hear that song during that show. So, shameless plug there. Video Game Flashback, I've said enough. Here's something that's not shameless. This is a very deserved plug. Random Hoops, at Random Hoops. I was saying so many great highlights in this one. Yeah, but these, it's a classic video here. Courtside Countdown. Whoop, there goes the sound. Whoops. Yep, top 10. Oh, Dominique Wilkins, yep. This is like early 90s, yep. Oh, greatest uniforms ever, number 9. The Bucks. I liked the Bucks back then, man. They were cool. Yep, looks like the... Yep, Charlotte Hornets, great play there. Of course, yeah, you might. I'm gonna retweet it, yeah, rather than me describing it. You'll be like, okay, yeah, that's, I believe, Blue Edwards. Yep, dunking on Isaiah Ryder, that's nice. Screw you, man. No. Who's that? Nope, that's the Orlando Magic. Yep, that was Scott Skiles, nice pass. Okay. I hate the noise upstairs sometimes. Beers and Buckets podcast followed. Thank you very much. I will... follow back immediately. And they're a part of the Basketball Podcast Network. Who do they, wonder who they follow? Or is it just general basketball? Doc, we were in college, sometimes NBA. Okay, so it's college basketball. Beer and Buckets, thanks for the follow. Followed back immediately. Yes. And yep, Random Hoops shared a Sam Cassell video. Oh, man. Yeah, let's see that again. Yep. Oh, my. What a nice fake. Oh. Who was that on? That was against the Mavericks, right? No, that's Utah. Yeah, they wear those weird uniforms. Oh, that's against Andre Kirilenko, one of the best defenders in the NBA at the time. My God, he was awesome. And, of course, future Timberwolf at the time. What a nice fake. Kind of going up to the basket, put the kind of sort of like had the ball up like a scoop, And I love that. I love that type of thing where you get a guy off the ground, and next day, and then you're able to make a move, either a nice pass or kind of wraparound layup. I love that stuff. Yep, that is my favorite kind of basketball. It's not further proof. It's not just about frickin' threes. Awesome. Thank you, Random Hoops. That is Reese Pedretti, coming in, out of Brisbane, Australia. So looks like there was a couple replies. He added, yep, when I was sick, oh, wow, yep, that trade, that crazy Charles Barkley trade to the Houston Rockets, yep, that destroyed the Rockets, unfortunately. It did, because it took away all those valuable guys off the Rockets, like Castell and Ori and all them. I think Ori played for the Suns for like 5 minutes, hit Danny Ainge, who was the coach at the time, with a towel, and next thing you know, he was off to the Los Angeles Lakers. Anyhow, Random Hoops, when I was 16, we had no internet at my house in Australia, and very, very limited access to NBA news. I don't remember Sam being involved in the Charles Barkley trade. Yep, I remember, but of course, again, we had more access. Yep, I'm sorry. And playing 22 games with the Suns to start the 96-97 season. Yep, I do remember. I don't remember him very well as a Sun. Yeah, it seems like, a lot of those guys didn't stick around very long. Chucky Brown, yep. Chucky Brown and that Mark Bryant. I don't remember Mark Bryant on the Rockets. Unless he was part of a different trade, but I'll definitely remember Chucky Brown in those championship teams, Ori and Sam Cassell, of course, like absolute integral members of that club. Ori, he basically hit Danny Ainge in the face with a towel because they weren't on the same page at all for whatever reason. And Sam Cassell, he was with the Suns for a couple minutes. I think, he got traded like a couple times that year. I think he was on Dallas for a minute, and then eventually wound up with the New Jersey Nets and. Went from a guy who was a spark plug to a 20 points a game type of guy and became an all-star type of point guard rather than a wonderful spark plug. There he is with the Mavericks. See, so my memory is serving me correctly. And of course, the Nets, who could forget? He was definitely with the Nets. People were hoping that we would get Sam Cassell back instead of Terrell Brandon when Marbury was traded to the New Jersey Nets during that time. Great memories. Random Hoops, you are, Reese Pedretti, you are a conduit of beautiful memories, and this is awesome. Never stop. Like the memories, the images, and the thoughts is awesome. Random Hoops says, I do remember him being Sam Cassell, banking home a game winner against the Rockets after getting traded to the Mavericks. But shocked to know he only played 16 games before being traded again, this time to the Nets. Yeah, it was a very crazy active trade season. I remember that year was really something else, 96-97. There was a lot of trades that year. I think that was that when Tim Hardaway was traded to the Miami Heat, or is it much later now? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he was traded to the Miami Heat around that time. Because I know Alonzo Mourning, it was like that was a very active time, the mid to late 90s. With the trades. Tim Hardaway was traded to the Miami Heat. And it's like, ooh, that's going to be fun with Alonzo Mourning. And they had some runs. That's when Pat Riley, Pat Riley left the Knicks after 95 and has been with the Heat ever since as a coach and executive and all that. Incredible. Really, Thank you. That is, I just love that kind of stuff. This is so cool. J-Man was saying, dude, I'm from Yepin and Ol and QLD. I had to watch NBA highlights at 6 o'clock in the morning on bloody fuzzy reception trying to even see the ball. Such pure innocent excellence. I agree. I am now 51 years old. Best time of the NBA ever. It was, Jamin. I'm going to give you a follow. Jamin Oz. He's the Wizard of Oz. I will give you a follow. Hope you follow back. That'd be great. Random Hoops says, Imagine we had then what we have now. Yeah, I mean, see, it's like, yes, the coverage would have been tough and all that. I can totally imagine. I wish you guys had more access. I really do. It's a bummer because by the 90s, you'd think, but I don't know. Who am I to say? But it was a wonderful time. And honest to God, that's what brought you to the NBA, right? That awesome era of the NBA, like the 90s and even into the 80s, depending on how far back you might go. All the way back to Bird, Mikhail Parrish, Magic Kareem, James Worthy, Michael Cooper, Byron Scott. You could go on all day. AC Green, I'm babbling now. But that was so cool. Thank you so much. Retweeted most recent episode 159 was retweeted by quite a few people. I really appreciate that. The Basketball Podcast Network, Levi Brown, Derek Felska, at Grease and Assist, who was on Brave the Wild yesterday, and we did a great one. That was so much fun. About a 100-minute podcast, Brave the Wild, of course, Minnesota Wild Hockey. Back and forth, awesome show. Derek Felska is an absolute hockey maven. He truly is. Vince Germano and Tanae Brown also retweeting the show. Tanae Brown out of New Zealand, the basketball podcast out of Vancouver, British Columbia. Derek Felska is out of Western Wisconsin, but of course from Minnesota. He's a teacher and a defensive line coach there. Tanae Brown out of New Zealand. Vince Germano out of Victoria, Australia. Oh, that was episode 159. But still, thank you guys for those retweets. 160, Tempers Flare. Yep, the Basketball Podcast Network. Vince Germano, Tanae Brown, and Benzo out of the Bronx retweeted last week's show. And yeah, this is really appreciated, that back and forth. Tanae Brown. Yep, this was about that article I posted, and it's also on the Facebook page about the missing... It's nine players the Wolves got rid of too soon. Tanae Brown says, no Derek Williams on the list. Beasley will forever be one of the great what-ifs, I think. Yeah, he was super talented. He was such a gifted scorer. Just had a poor ethic and focus. Yeah, he's just a dummy, wasn't he? Yep, and that was awesome. Thank you, Tanae. Retweeted my tweet. Dunking with Wolves, yep. I'm going to look at some of the players really quick. Number nine, Walker Kessler. So I'm going to try to go through this real fast. Number eight, Andrew Wiggins. Number seven, Daniel Marshall. Yeah, because he definitely got better. It took a little while, but he got better. Number six, Lauri Markkanen. Yep, that awful Butler trade and what took place. Sorry, I'm choking here. That was really something, though. Lauri Markkanen, what a stud he became with Utah. Not with Chicago, but Utah. Whew. He was an all-star and a legitimate one. That we got rid of Kevin Love too soon, I guess. I mean, if you say Andrew Wiggins, I guess, but... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That whole thing was kind of a tough one. But, I actually don't disagree with either one of those. Jimmy Butler, come on. You know, I mean, what were we supposed to do? What were we supposed to do? Keep him here when he was just tearing the place apart? What do you mean? This is Brett Studer. Great article, but I don't know about Jimmy Butler. There's a certain player missing, at least I think there is. Number three, Kevin Garnett. Well, yeah. I mean, he was here till he was about 30. But again, what were we supposed to do? We were kind of in a cap crunch, or are they talking about the later one? He was 40. But what were we supposed to do when the team wasn't winning? We were in a cap crunch. I don't know. I mean, in a lot of ways, yes, I understand. Maybe he would have never won a championship. Brandon Roy, that was dumb. But, of course, the first version of passing up on him, yeah, versus Randy Foy, yes. That's what that was all about. And Zach LaVine, they have him as number one. There's one person that is absolutely missing, and I would take Butler out because of the way things ended. But there's no way Butler could stay here. There is no way. That's unacceptable. And obviously Marbury again. That's another one. We couldn't keep him. He didn't want to be here. Didn't want to be here. You know, once the player's here and they don't want to be here, there's nothing you can do. Chauncey Billups, I think, is the one that we should definitely be on this list instead of, say, Jimmy Butler. Probably in the same spot, about three or four. Chauncey Billups, he was just coming into his own, finally playing point guard instead of guys playing him at freaking shooting guard, which wasn't doing anybody any good. So that's my thought on that. Should have been Chauncey Billups. Chauncey Billups should have been right where Butler is. Take Butler out. The guy did not want to be here. It's that simple. Tanae Brown has a nice good one here. He says, I don't think you can say we gave up on Love. Yeah, because what were we supposed to do? He didn't want to be here. Garnett, we didn't give up on him either. It's not like he didn't want to be here, but like I babbled enough about the cap crunch situation. Butler, come on, you know. That was, yeah. So some of them, I don't disagree. They all wanted out. And Garnett actually kind of did too, yeah. He was a little ticked off at the time of getting traded. Garnett, sometimes we don't know what he wanted. It's a strange dude. Wiggins was never going to be what we needed him to be. Between him and Carl, neither had that killer instinct. Wiggins landed perfectly on a team where he'd play his true game and not force the issue like he did with the Wolves. That is It doesn't. You couldn't have summed it up better. You couldn't have summed it up better. Today, that is perfect. That is a platinum star. Platinum. Like I give out gold stars on Purple Mafia. Platinum star for that. That is, it's that good. So, yep. Gold star for Reese Pedretti with awesome videos and memories. Platinum star with that comment there. Because, yeah, I mean, kind of coming back at some of those choices. Some of them, it's like, what can you do? I mean, there's other players we could have came up with that were not like the big highlight names like Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler would have set fire to Target Center if we kept him another, like, another month. Kevin Garnett, it was, what were you going to do? We were stuck. Love would have set fire to Target Center probably in the next couple months. But Butler absolutely would have. A lot of fans might say, well, we could get a new building anyway. No, I'm kidding, but you don't want to go about it doing that. That was, but what a great comment. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Wiggins, exactly. Most of those choices weren't good. I can't believe he left Chauncey Billups out. See, LaVine, of course you understand. It was a dumb trade. And Lauri Markkanen, great choice. Because, again, you know, great choice. Because look what he turned out to be. It took a while, but turned out to be awesome. Daniel Marshall, I can see that. He got really good later on with Cleveland and, I think it was Cleveland, right? Cleveland and Toronto. I remember, right? Toronto was later, but yeah, he became a hell of a player, actually. Daniel Marshall. It just took a while. Chauncey Billups, huge one for me. Huge. Huge. William Avery, not, obviously. Marbury, again, same thing. Same reason for Butler. That same reason you left Marbury out, you should not have had Butler in there, and probably not Garnett and Love. So, again, yeah, great. Great thoughts. Chauncey Billups for sure would be in there, though, if I could add at least one. I'm obsessed with that one because what a nice player he really was and what he became. And you could see it. You could see it if you really kind of paid attention to when Terrell Brandon got hurt and the Wolves, because Brandon actually never played another game. He had, microfracture in his knee, microfracture surgery type of deal, Terrell Brandon. And then ultimately we ended up trading his contract to get Latrell Sprewell. Who would you rather have had? 1 year of Latrell Sprewell being normal, kind of normal, taking some crazy shots and stuff. And fouling on three-point shots on occasion, which led Marcus to explosions. One of the reasons why this show's named Timberwolves Explosion. yeah, me too. Cursing and screaming. And then the next year becoming absolutely nuts and saying $21 million's not enough to feed his family. $21 million, not enough. And this is 20 years ago, folks. Yeah. Or Chauncey Billups, who ended up having a hell of a career after that. Many, many years of incredibly good basketball. Borderline Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Sprewell shouldn't set foot in the Hall of Fame. He shouldn't. So, unless it's just the 2x4 he tried to hit somebody with. What else? But, yeah. I mean, there's some other names. Like, obviously not Doug West. It was kind of unfortunate. It's just a sad situation there. I could go on forever. Maybe I'll think of some names and put them in the show. But, Billups is at the top of the list. Obviously not Joe Smith. Why would I even mention that name? Thurl Bailey, damn it. But that's probably, you know, way back. And he wasn't that great. He was just good. Pooh Richardson couldn't make a free throw, which is unacceptable for a point guard in the NBA. Unacceptable. 55%? That's just ridiculous. So, I mean, you have the ball all the time, so you're going to shoot a lot of free throws. It's just the name of the game. Point guard's got to make free throws, folks. At least like 75-80%, not 55%. That's why Pooh Richardson had a short career, because it's unacceptable. That's the only word to describe it. Sorry I'm babbling, but I wish I could come up with more players. I know there are more, several more. Marcus would have said that, Chris Smith, I think was his name? Or was it Chris Johnson, I think it was. That's who it was. That nice, but yeah, unfortunately, he never really played after that. But maybe I'll come up with some other names if they come in my head in the future. Obviously, that kind of article is a lot of fun because it generates a ton of thought and debate and all that. So, that was awesome. With that said, thank you, Tanay. Thank you, Reese Pedretti, Vince Germano. Awesome, thank you for the retweets, and hope to hear from you more and more often. I know you're a busy guy. Danae's a busy guy. Reese's, we're all busy. I'm busy. You know, we're all hardworking sons of guns trying to get by and, you know, doing our best and all that. So hope all of you have a wonderful week. Hope to hear from you. Yeah, Benzo, of course, coming in from the Bronx. Awesome, dude. Awesome. Hope to hear from you guys more and more and more. And we shall talk to you in a week. And hopefully this Timberwolves club can push closer and closer to the playoffs and not just the play-in.